After leaving the Unitarian Society, or I call USOG, I traveled to Boston, where I served on the staff of the Unitarian Universalist Association in the Department for Faith and Action for almost 15 years. And one of my joys of work was called the Social Justice Empowerment Program, and it was working with local congregations on how to develop effective social justice programs in their congregations. And I had a chance to work with hundreds of our congregations across the country over that period of time. One of the things that happened in doing that work was to do an assessment of what the strengths and challenges for any given group to be able to engage in effective work. And one of the key pieces of work around that was identifying the history of the congregation. To me, it was the most essential piece to have people reflect on those experiences, those events that had happened in their community that had helped shape their identity as a justice-making congregation. Now, the interesting thing about that is a lot of times people didn't know what those stories were or hadn't thought about those stories or hadn't thought about how to tell those stories in a way that could be useful and empowering. So a lot of my work was around helping to make that happen. I say that because we're here on this occasion reflecting on 150 years of life and history in this congregation. And so to be thinking on what are the core stories in the history, what are the stories that help shape the identity of this congregation over time, and more importantly, give it the power to move into the future. Because the history, our looking at history is not simply a journey down memory lane, or a study in nostalgia. We use our history in order to empower us to work for justice now. And that's why the history has value. But what is this connection between history and identity? We have a story, a national story in Unitarian Universalism today, of a movement back in the 70s and late 80s where virtually all of the gay, lesbian, bisexual, and transgender people in our community were in the closet. And that little crack when Reverend Jim Stoll came out and identified as a gay man, and then others began to connect and tell their stories and come together in community. And then initiatives were passed at our General Assembly saying we need to be moving toward change, and then the development of the Welcoming Congregation Program, a program that this congregation went through and achieved that identity as a welcoming congregation. Did you know that there are now 700 to 800 welcoming congregations in Unitarian Universalism across the country? But what's most important about that story is not only the development of our sensibility inside our communities, but more significantly, this is what empowered the marriage equality movement. In states across the country, core leaders in the religious community, and indeed core leaders in the larger community, were Unitarian Universalists who had gone through this process in their congregations, through the welcoming congregation process, and reached a different understanding and came to see where we needed to stand in solidarity with our BGLT brothers and sisters in their struggle for the right of marriage equality. That's a story that starts back in the 1970s. That's a story that moves through several decades. But it's a story that shapes a national identity for Unitarian Universalists. And that's how identity and history work together. And that story empowers our continuing work around those issues going forward. And so it is in every congregation in our country. If you want to understand why All Souls Church in Washington, D.C. has such a great social justice program, you'll understand how they were engaged in abolition in the 1860s. You'll see how they supported women's rights and women's rights to vote in the early 1900s. You'll see how they desegregated their youth club in the 1950s. And all of those stories, all of those examples shape their identity as a justice congregation. So now we come to Unitarian Society. And we had a wonderful conversation in the earlier gathering. I want to encourage more people to come to that gathering in the morning. That's a wonderful opportunity. But we had a chance for some sharing and some dialogue with one another about what are the stories here in this congregation that shape an identity, that empower us to be justice-oriented. So we're remembering Reverend Furness, who was an abolitionist, who was invited by the Unitarians when they set up the congregation up in this area to become a minister at a time. Though that was a significant thing to do back in that day. We remember when Dr. Martin Luther King was invited to preach from this pulpit. That was a very significant thing to do in that time and day. I'm very mindful of the members of this church who have stayed in Mount Airy, who have been in Mount Airy, who have fostered West Mount Airy neighbors and East Mount Airy neighbors and were parts of Northwest Interfaith Movement, working to keep a stable, integrated community here when people were redlining and driving people out of communities and trying to turn them over. And the importance of that witness here in our community, but in the nation, when we're almost as segregated right now as we were back in the 60s, and the shame of that, the shame of that. But here people stayed, and they worked together, and they kept this community together. And that's powerful. That's part of our legacy here in this community. So a couple of things happened that I think are important in shaping the identity in the 2008-2009 decade. One of them was the movement toward women's empowerment and women's leadership here in the congregation. And we had this amazing women's movement that happened in our country. We remember Bella Abzug and Gloria Steinem, these great leaders, but the heart of the women's movement was millions of women in grassroots communities coming together, struggling for reproductive rights and women's rights and pay equality and so on. And a lot of that energy came into our congregation. And more than that, women began to move into important leadership positions in our congregation. And we called a woman minister, Reverend Marguerite Lovett, who was my associate here for a number of years. And she was followed by the Reverend Nina Gray, another woman leader. And we could note that another significant change in our movement has been the fact that in 1960 we had some 10 women ministers in our congregations. And now we have probably 600 women ministers in our congregations. So this whole empowerment of women, I think, is one of the essential things in our Unitarian Universalist legacy at this time. A second thing I think that was important that happened during that period, and Barbara referred to it in the story that she told earlier, about the process that took place here around whether we could, or I could, do services of union here in this sanctuary. I had taken the position I could do the services anywhere, and by the way, you might have fired me for that. But this was your congregation, this was your sanctuary, and you needed to make the decision as to whether it was going to happen in this space, which then created this, well, year and a half discussion that happened here. And this wonderful wrestling and this learning and growing that we did together, deepening our understanding, deepening our appreciation of what the issues were, not only the inclusion of our BGLT brothers and sisters, but how our homophobia and our heterosexism and our socialization were limiting us as human beings. The liberation of people is the liberation of all of us. But what I want to note about the importance of that, because that we looked at that as the process yesterday, what I want to note and observe is this is a community where that discussion took place that wasn't going on just about anywhere else in the United States, okay? It was not going on in other Unitarian Universalist congregations. And the fact that the congregation stepped out and engaged that issue is a powerful marker. And I believe the way it impacts on our identity, impacts on the identity of this congregation, is that it empowers us to take on difficult and challenging issues and say we're willing to risk going into uncomfortable areas. We're willing to experiment with areas that are sensitive and difficult. We have enough trust and connection and communication and ability to listen to one another that we can move forward in that way. That, to me, is just an incredibly powerful thing to have in the identity of this congregation. Now, I have to say, in a little bit of confession, that I'm disappointed in what we were able to accomplish while I was here as our minister, as your minister, in the 1980s around racial justice. And a larger perspective on that, our movement had been so challenged and really mesmerized by the Black empowerment struggle. And I know Reverend Day Park came here and talked about that and talked about its impact. Well, the sad tragedy of all of that was so many people of color left the movement, and then we as white Unitarian Universalists went into this 20 years of silence where we literally could not talk about race. And I want to point out how painful that was, because when race is a central social justice issue in your nation and you can't talk about it, you're in a bad place. And we were in a similar situation here at Unitarian Society. We weren't any different than other Unitarian congregations. After 1990, the movement began to re-engage the issue and came back into the conversation. And in 1997, there was a resolution passed in Phoenix that we would become an anti-racist, anti-oppressive, multicultural faith community. And I know those discussions and those dialogues that happened at the national level came back into this church. And I know you now have a transformation team in place that's doing that important, challenging work of creating anti-racist identity and practice here in your institution. I think that's fantastic. And I'm glad that you've been able to move in that curve along that way. So it's just been amazing being here, amazing reconnecting with you, amazing revisiting this story, amazing to see seeds that were planted in the 1980s that have flourished and grown, and amazing to see how the love permeates this place as we move toward beloved community together. Blessings.